The Bible has a clear commandment in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, that says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." So let's slow down for a moment, because in this statement here, it's telling us that women should not wear clothes that are specific to men. Now it's also saying the opposite, that men should not put on women's clothing. Now, here's the problem with this verse for most people, is they're not willing to accept reality. Because this is honestly not a hard verse to be understood. It just flies in the face of our culture. Now, what's interesting about the bathroom sign, and look, this is just a bathroom sign, is there is literally only one distinguishment between these. One. It doesn't even, I mean, the head, the same. The color, the same. What's the one difference? One is wearing pants, the other one's wearing a skirt. I mean, that's the only difference between these two pictures. So then how come every single person automatically knows that this is the man and this is the woman? Every child knows it. Every single person knows it. You know why? Because a woman's garment is a skirt and a man's garment is pants. You go to a Baptist church 50 years ago, 60 years ago, they all believed it. They all had these standards. They would all be horrified, just the same way as me wearing a dress, as a woman dressing like a man too. And you say, where is this coming from? Well, let me give you some history. Various U.S. cities in the 19th and 20th centuries passed legislation barring women from wearing trousers. So in the 1800s and 1900s, the United States started passing laws against women wearing pants. Now, you know why they started passing laws for that? Because women started trying to wear them. Beforehand, no one was even wearing it, so it wasn't even a question. But they had to start passing laws. In 1863, a law passed by San Francisco Board of Supervisors criminalizing the appearing in public in a dress not belonging to his or her sex. So, you know, I wonder why San Francisco's leading the charge again. They're always leading the charge. They've been leading the charge for a while. It says, although, and you say, well, they're the first one to pass a law. You know why they're the first one to pass a law? Because it was needed. Yeah. You know why it's needed? Because they're ungodly. That city as a whole is wicked. It's the, like, probably the most wicked city in the world, if not the top five. I mean, I don't know. It's a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, my friend. Although similar laws existed in Columbus, Ohio, 1848, Chicago, Illinois, 1851, Houston, Texas passed in 1864. That's only 1 year later than the San Francisco one. In 1907, Orlando, Florida, approximately two dozen other U.S. cities. Anti-cross-dressing laws continued to pass as well into the 20th century, with Detroit, Michigan, and Miami, Florida, passing laws as late as the 1950s. And in Cincinnati, Ohio, they passed in 1974. In 1974, it was illegal, according to their own state laws, for a woman to wear pants. That is not that long ago. 1974. Let me go back in time again. 1923 in West Virginia, a 14-year-old girl at Reedy Rowan County was arrested for wearing pants. It was a violation of local law banning females from dressing in anything that impersonates male attire. So in 1923, a 14-year-old was literally arrested in West Virginia. In 1938, Helen Hulick, a school teacher in L.A., a very godly place, Los Angeles, 1938, she was a witness in a burglary case and received a 5-day jail sentence for wearing pants to the court case. She had to come back in a dress to finally be a witness in the court case after a 5-day jail sentence. In 1960, a judge ejected a woman named Lois Rabinowitz, sounds Jewish, from a New York traffic court for wearing pants, telling her to come back properly dressed on a latter day. New York. 1960, a woman was ejected from court for wearing pants. Now, you know who picked up this fight? The media. And you know who picked up this fight? The celebrities. Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, man, 1960s. The actress wanted the character that she played in the Dick Van Dyke Show to reflect the real lives of American women. I think we broke new ground, and that was what helped by my insistence on wearing pants. Oh, she's the American dream. She's the American woman. But no one's wearing it. They're getting arrested if they do. But on the TV, they can wear it. That's where it always starts, isn't it? She was just so excited. She was wearing pants, you know, jeans and capris. And other times when I've seen other actresses, they're always running the vacuum in these little flowered frocks with high heels on, and I don't do that. How are you then representing American women in real life? And she says, every woman I see is wearing a dress and high heels and cleaning at the house, but you know what? I want to put a pantsuit on and go to work. And then you know what it does? It changes the culture, doesn't it? It wasn't until the 1960s that women began wearing pantsuits in the office. By 1972, they were demanding more freedom and what they wore. Title IX of the Education Amendment said that schools could no longer forbid women from wearing pants. So all the way up to 1972, schools made it illegal for girls to come dressed in pants. Put that law back in place, you know, for our public school system. And in 1973, the perfume Charlie by Revlon was launched. The advertising campaign featured women wearing pantsuits by Ralph Lauren. It says in 1974, you'll see a picture of a young Hillary Clinton wearing a pantsuit when she was 26-year-old attorney. You know who's one of the pioneers for women wearing pants? Hillary Clinton. Isn't that your lady's role model? Isn't that who you just want to be like? Hillary Rodham Clinton. Just such a wonderful person to look up to. One of the champions. 1993. The first woman to ever wear pants on the Senate floor. 1993. That is 27 years ago. That is not a long time ago. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And you know what? They continually promote, oh, women have gotten so much freedom now. They can dress like men. How is that freedom? And how is that being feminine anyways? Well, the feminist movement is an oxymoron. Because it should be like manism. They're trying to make women become men. They're not trying to make women be feminine and make them godly. It says verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So notice, something going against nature, how God describes it, vile. He says, hey, women not dressing like women, it's vile. Hey, men not dressing like men, it's vile. Hey, that reminds me of a verse. Oh yeah, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, which said they're an abomination. It's like the Bible just lines up perfectly.